That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Does anyone actually know what's going on here?
I literally have no idea. Help.
We're 20 whatever.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
Welcome to 20 whatever.
We are here, you guys.
I can't believe it.
And the set.
Let's take a moment for the set.
Let's take a moment. Audio listeners, you might want to go check this out on YouTube because this set.
As Ryan says, get into the detail.
Get into the detail.
Jess did all of this. This was like Jess's idea from conception to execution.
Yes.
And it feels like a real podcast, not like we're in the spare bedroom in my house.
Right.
Nope. Yeah. This is a set, baby.
This is a podcast set.
And we are now officially 20 whatever as of this episode.
Oh my gosh, lady, snaps.
Snaps.
Yeah, this is crazy. Like, this is happening right now.
Yeah. And it's been, well, I think this episode, we just kind of want to talk about, like, how we got here. Because now it's been 6 months since we first decided that this is something we want to do.
Oh,
and now we're actually here.
It's been six months. I don't even think I realized that.
It's end of June, and we did that trip in December.
Wow.
Which, by the way, we need to go back.
Yeah. We should go back this December as, like, not only a fun trip for, like, the team, but also, like, the 1 year anniversary of, like, deciding to do this.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
I'm a crack.
I know.
And I want to know, how did we even get here? Because I will get into it later, but was Ryan's plus one, so I wasn't necessarily scheduled in the mix.
Right.
And
right.
Now you're here. And now I'm here. So how did we get here, ladies?
For those who don't know, I run the Confident Kind, like, Instagram and the brand and all of that stuff. And Sierra was like, we're doing this retreat. It's going to be fun for everybody on the team. And she was like, bring a plus one. And I was like, period. I'm going to bring a man.
Thank goodness that man did not come.
Exactly. That's where I went wrongo. And the man did not come. And I was like, hey, P, you trying to roll through?
Like, yeah, I'm available.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, I think this is just like for funsies, but like, you can come and like hang out. And then we rode up to Big Bear and had a great time with the team.
Yeah. And we basically, you know, we're doing some work stuff, but really that trip was about like team bonding, hanging out. We spent a lot of time just talking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not even about work stuff, but just life stuff, because we have this team that is almost entirely female, except for Steven and Mario.
Right.
Who most of us are in our 20s. Mm-hmm. And we all kind of were having these life talks about what it's like being in your 20s, the different stages that we're all in, and how we're kind of navigating these same issues through our different perspectives. And we're having these amazing, like, hour-long talks in the jacuzzi at the lunch table, like, just in our pajamas over coffee.
Yeah. And that's how it started, you know? Like, you have dinner, right? And then all of a sudden, people start leaving the table, and then everyone starts scooting to one edge of the table.
Right,
and
right.
Then and then the wine starts flowing, and then the girls are just talking, like, oh, my goodness.
The girls are girling.
And the girls are girling, and we're being loud because, obviously, wine's flowing, and we're just like, and that insecurity. I mean, that's how we bond, I feel like.
Yeah.
And, getting to know each other and just knowing mm-hmm. what our dreams, hopes, and fears, we kind of got to that point.
Yeah,
right after dinner, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're having all these great talks. And I think it was on the second night. I was in the shower and Steven comes in and he's like, I have to talk to you right now because this is the only second I'm going to get alone with you. And I was like literally washing my hair. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, tell me. And he's like, I think you should bring back the podcast, Sierra Unfiltered, with Ryan and Paloma. or you should just give it to them if you don't want to do it. I don't even think I told you guys that second part ever.
No.
That he told me I should. He was like, if he straight up told me, if you don't want to do it, if you feel like you are done with the podcast, you should give it to them because we have this audience there.
Right.
Who is hungry for this content of exactly what we were doing at that table.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just sitting and talking about life and these things that we're going through. Mm-hmm. And Stephen was like, there's this audience who wants that. Mm-hmm. And whatever there is between the three of you is magic. And it was like this light bulb moment. And Stephen is not usually, I feel like, that blunt. Like, he's very like, oh, you know, maybe bring back the podcast. That would be fun.
Right.
Yeah.
But for him to be so forward at like, you have to do something with Ryan and Paloma because this can't end here. So
hearing it all over again is like giving me goosebumps.
I know what I mean? And it takes you back to like that moment, you know, when we'll get there, but that's so cool and special to hear like an outsider, like not Steven's not even here with us, the three of us chatting right now. Yeah. But he like right. saw
like, and like overheard and like saw us like interacting and was like, this is something.
Magic.
Something. Like, I don't know what this is, but it's something.
Sierra is mid rinsing and she's like, oh, okay.
right
Well, especially because I had just decided a couple months earlier that I really wanted to scale back work in 2022, right. spend more time with Grace, and all of a sudden I'm like, okay, is this a project I want to take on? Let me talk to Jess, because Jess, being my producer, is like the woman behind everything I do. So I go to Jess and I'm like, hey, I know we've got a really busy schedule, I'd love to just pull you for a second and like get your thoughts on this. And so I pull Jess aside and I'm talking to her about it, I'm telling her this, and she immediately is like, first of all, I got really nervous when you said you wanted to talk to me alone because I thought you were going to fire me. And I'm like, literally never.
Right.
And she was like, and second of all, I cannot agree more. Like, there is something here. Aww. And I just, I love what the three of us have and like the way that we talk. I love the conversations we have off camera. But also, like, you two as people, I have never met two people that I think are so deserving of a platform.
Sierra,
I mean it. I'm just like,
first episode, she's gonna get me crying.
Oh, right.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I think you two are such amazing people, and you have such an amazing way with words, and you're so funny and fun and well spoken. And I'm just like, how do I get? I have this amazing platform, this gift I've been given by my audience and the algorithm gods of like,
right.
For some reason, people want to watch my shit, and. How do I get you guys in front of that camera? Because you deserve it. And people, you have so much to say, and I want people to hear it.
So, I feel really honored that you think that, and like the people that around you think that, because that's how I feel about you. Like, I'm like, Sierra is out here doing the damn thing. Like, truly, like, honestly.
Like, I'm the plus one on the trip. I'm meeting you for the first time. I'm like, this lady is incredible. Are you right. kidding me? I'm like, she's just a bundle of joy, and just your presence. And I want everyone to meet you in person so I can be like, do you understand that she's like a
like, she'd be out here.
She's an actual light of joy. Like, you see her, there's like rays. I'm
this no right.
No joke.
Y'all
no
know
cap.
The sun?
You know the sun, the stars? That's her.
Yeah. And that's when you guys met.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So this was the first time Paloma and I had met. Ryan and I had known each other for like almost a decade.
Yeah.
Like, we've known each other because we met doing Lena's.
I think it's
together.
A decade this year.
Yeah. Because it was when we were 16.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we met doing community theater, became friends through that show. And then Ryan moved to New York. And so when I would go to New York, I would be like, hey, Ryan, want to hang out? And you were also a photographer. So I'd be like,
yeah.
Want to do some Instagram photos for me? And we'd just like hire you for a day shoot, and then we'd like go out and drink.
Yep.
And it was great.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And so Ryan and I stayed in touch through all that. Then when we were looking to expand the team for Confident and Kind, I was like, Ryan, like, you're so good at that stuff. So you started doing that, working remote. And then whenever mm-hmm. you would come down here, we would hang out and work in person.
Yep.
But Paloma, I had never met.
Yeah.
And I knew so much about her from you because right. they're roommates and you guys have been best friends for forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we also, just doing theater in San Diego, mm-hmm. we had so many mutual friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we found out now later that we actually went to the same high school. So.
And graduated. We walked at the same graduation.
What?
That is crazy.
Like, what a small world. How did we graduate the same? Like, that's just crazy.
And like, part of me is mad that we didn't meet earlier because like, I love you so much. And like, even just in the past 6 months, we've gotten so close. But also, I'm like, I feel like everything happened the way it happened for a reason.
For sure.
Like, meeting the, at Big Bear on that trip and just, like, all of us immediately being, like, this is so awesome.
Yeah.
I was, like, I think there was something special in that.
Yeah. And going back to Big Bear and, like, Jess being freaked out that you wanted to talk to her, when you were, like, we want to talk to you guys, Paloma was, like, what are we doing? And I was, like, I literally do not know. Like, I'm
her plus one. Like, I'm like,
I'm like, I don't know.
Just picture this. So, like, I had known Sierra, obviously, like, through Ryan, but just, like, virtually, like, I'm just like, oh, her boss, this is her boss. Like, in my mind, I'm like, okay, Paloma, you need to be on your best behavior because this is, like, Ryan's boss. Like, you need to, like, you know, like, be perfect right now. So I was just like, oh my gosh, like, am I doing okay? Like, I just, she's just so nice and I hope she likes me. You know, like, the whole, like, when you meet a girl for the first time. So I'm just like, and it just couldn't have been more perfect. And like you said, I think that we met each other at, like, a perfect time in our life and it felt like it clicked. And it was like, wow, I wish we would have known each other in high school. It would have been so much fun.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing, so I pulled them aside, right, to have this talk. And I figured you guys were interested because you guys had tried to do two extra before, mm-hmm. which you guys should talk a little bit about that.
I think, you know, like a lot of people, there was like, we're in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? You know, like, we're at home, like, we're bored, you know, we were in each other's, like, little pod or whatever, like, to see each other. And we were like, we could really do, like, a thing. We're already doing it, like, in real life. Like, why don't we just make some content and see how it goes? And it went really well. You know, all of our friends were, like, super into it. And then, you know, like, things you just kind of...
Yeah, and I wanted to touch on how, like, it was a time where, in the pandemic, where it was so nothing was going on and you were set to think about, like, okay, so what do I want? What do I need to do to get somewhere? And that was kind of, like, that's when TikTok originated and you could see these people just getting traction and becoming, like, getting an audience. And you're like, okay, so I love to do this. What am I, like, how do I get involved in there? And I had always tried to do this YouTube thing, too. Like, Ryan has been doing YouTube.
You've been doing YouTube longer than I have.
Yeah. What was the year you started doing YouTube?
I think it was 2014 or 2015.
Yeah,
this girl has been doing YouTube for a hot minute. And then when I
was gonna say, actually, Ryan was doing YouTube when I met her, and there's, like, old rehearsal vlogs from shows we were in that I'm mortified over.
Yeah.
We should go watch them.
We should.
We should watch your old YouTube videos.
That'd be so fun. No. Oh my gosh.
Delete.
And it was before the pandemic hit that I had moved out after college, and I had a roommate that also was working, like, at E! News at the time, so she's very, like, spunky, and I was like, okay, here's my time. We're gonna do something. And we had, like, two girls, one teacup, you know? Like, we were just, like, pass around this little teacup that had wine in it and just chat about it. But, you know, schedules and just, it's just so hard to, when not pandemic and you all have other things to do. Mm-hmm. And we just, it never hit, you know, just like when you try a project and it just didn't stick. And I was like, but I obviously love entertaining. I love people, like, making people laugh. And then I found Ryan and I was like, okay, girl, let's get it.
I know. I finally came back from New York and we were like, okay,
you finally lived in the same city as me.
Right.
So that had to happen.
And then Two Extra was born. I love that name. I love her. That's truly, like, our baby, I feel like, and maybe she'll make a reappearance at some point, but the videos live on the internet. Y'all can watch them.
We were driving, like, in the car, like, spitballing, what was it called? And we're like, something, like, two, like, we're just so much, and then it was like, Two Extra. There's two of us. How genius.
Yeah.
And spelled like the number two, of course, you know.
Right.
But, and then obviously how projects just kind of fizzle out and just kind of realizing that you, to get an audience, you have to do what's trending. And then we found ourselves not being authentic because I'm like, why am I doing an Amazon haul review? Like, I don't really want to do that much. And so, you know, it just.
This was, but, like, having that conversation with you and the three of us, like, reignited, like, why we wanted to do Two Extra in the first place.
Yeah. And it ended up being, well, and because I had Sierra Unfiltered, the podcast that I had started with my friend Skylar, and was so much fun. It was, like, one of the just most genuinely fun projects I've ever done. Like, every time we sat down to film together, it was like, I was so excited. It was so fun.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, this is, like, a filming. I'm just sitting down, like, drinking and hanging out with my friend. Like, such a blast. Skylar decided in June 2020 that she wanted to step away from the internet altogether. She just wanted to live her life privately offline, which of course I, like, fully support, and she's doing amazing and we're still best friends, of course. But the podcast stopped because of that. Mm-hmm. And when we made our last podcast episode, I had said, like, I do want to keep doing this. I just don't know how. Right. And so I had talked about bringing it back in a multitude of ways, with different friends, with Steven, with my dad. Like, There were so many things that I had thought about doing, and it just never, it never had that magic that I felt like it had before.
Yeah.
And when I had that conversation with you guys and Steven really brought that to my attention, I realized that the merging of Sierra Unfiltered and Two Extra to make something new was, you guys were missing what I had of like the platform, the audience, the infrastructure to create the show. And I was missing what you guys had of just like friends hanging out, shooting the shit.
Right.
And so we realized like if we put Two Extra and Sierra Unfiltered together and make something new, what could it be?
What a powerhouse.
I mean, if I do say so myself. Actually, wow. And now here we are. 20 whatever.
Let's talk a little bit about the name.
Yeah.
Because we went through at least a dozen names. Yeah. Started with, should we just keep it Sierra Unfiltered? Should we keep it Two Extra? And then we started going through all these new names. And we landed on 20 whatever. Do we want to, should we tell them some of the other names?
Yeah. The one that we like almost chose before 20 whatever was called the group chat.
We loved the group chat. We loved it. We reserved the name on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then Jess started digging and realized that there were two podcasts called The Group Chat.
Yeah.
That were completely different than what we were doing, but still.
And like regularly name. Posting. So it wasn't like an old, you know, something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was enough that we were just like, you know, let's go in another direction.
And we needed something to really just like.
That. We needed to stand out.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So then the idea we had was write that down, because whenever we were filming the like not practice episodes, but like the trial episodes before we did the whole relaunch, we all the time and even off camera, just like hanging out. If someone had like a really good like sound bite or like sentence, we'd be like, oh, my God, that's so good. Write that down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Write that down.
Yeah.
Why didn't we go with write that down? I can't remember.
I think we were looking like to see if there were other like podcasts or even just like other channels with that name. And there was one, but it was really like writer focused.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was like
it was about like
it was like literally. Yeah. And we were like, yeah, I guess like, and then we kind of circled back like, what's our content going to be about? Like, yeah, that's like fun for us. But like, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
It was between those two. Write that down and group chat. And I think that we just gravitated more towards how group chat felt with us. And then we kind of just like.
Yeah.
We just kept saying write that down.
Yeah.
But we're like.
But we had 20 whatever on the list almost from the beginning. We just like.
Oh, also the original name we came up with in the jacuzzi at Big Bear was, do you remember?
No.
Recovering Theater Kid.
Oh,
do you remember that? And then we decided not to, for two reasons. Number one, we didn't like the idea of recovery and kind of making light of that, like, but the joke being that like we were theater kids and now it still like affects our lives.
Right.
And then also we didn't want to alienate the non-theater kids because trust me, our theater energy is
it's enough. A lot. Yeah.
It is apparent.
Yes.
I don't think we need to put it in the name.
And I think we also didn't want to niche ourselves.
Yes.
That was the other thing, too.
And that's why we kept coming back to 20 whatever, because we were like, what is this podcast about? What are we about? Mm-hmm. We kept going back to this conversation we had in Big Bear about how each of us, we are all three of us are 26. We all grew up in the same town. We have a lot of the same interests. But we are in such different places in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Me having, you know, a family, a daughter. I got married pretty young, very much being in that stage of my life.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm in that part of your 20s where I have the urge to keep saying, oh, I just graduated college. That's a lie. I graduated over 4 years ago. I need to stop saying that in interviews. recent college grad, a lie. Well, I also think
define recent.
Exactly. Oh, but which, by the way, the kids that like graduated during pandemic, you guys really are just like, I just graduated. Well, you know, it just like has been so much time. But I'm still in that part of your 20s where I'm trying to find the correct footing to be established in my career. And I feel like I'm dipping into so many different things for my quote unquote work, like creatively. I'm a social media manager, but I also like to create content for myself or TikTok videos, YouTube. I'm auditioning for TV and theater. And I'm still trying to figure out what exactly is actually fueling me and what lights me up and where do I want to pour my whole cup into, because for a long time I was like, I just want to do acting. That's all I want to do. And then I started getting into other projects and I was like, I love editing videos. I love creating this kind of content. And so I'm like, wait, let's take a step back. And what is it that you actually do? So I'm at that part where you're like in a job. So I'm social media managing. So it's like still around the vicinity of what I want to do, but like a step away. And how do I become established in something that I want and I'm really excited about?
Right.
I have not lived in the same place for over a year since graduating college. So I'm like, oh, I want to establish roots. And you're like, girl, where? You've had a new apartment every right. single year. But I'm living with my best friend and my boyfriend. So it feels like a sitcom. Like
it does.
It's not the odd couple. It's the odd thruple.
It really is.
We had a friend come visit us in LA and was like, is it like always like this? And girl Ryan's like, oh, girl, you can't even imagine. Like, it's just... Like, that's where I'm at. You have more than one roommate. Maybe it's your boyfriend. Maybe it's your best friend. And then, like, the three of us are starting to agree, like, maybe we should become a fur baby mom. So, like, that's where I'm
You're
at.
You're taking that step. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm going to be finally responsible for another human living thing.
Not a human.
Not a human.
Oh, sorry.
You're getting a human?
A human pet?
Well, you know when you just, okay, fine, not human. It'll be a fur baby.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
Another living thing.
Yeah, and you know, you got to get the approval of like all the roommates, the boyfriend and the right. best friend's got to approve. But I think Ryan's pretty good for it, right, girl?
I'm ready. Let's get it right
she's
now.
She's so ready to become ready. A dog mom. Yeah, she's yeah. every day. She's like, come on, are
like,
you ready?
Just get it. What are we waiting for? But you know, big things.
Big things.
Feel like I'm at the point in life where I'm in the kind of 20s where you just want to be happy. You just want to show up, show out, and go home. Smiling, you know, like yeah. I just want
happy
to be happy. And I am in the middle of trying to figure out what makes me happy and like what I'm doing just to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I think there's a part of you that does things because you think that's what you're supposed to be doing, especially yeah. in your 20s. Like, mm-hmm. I have no idea what's going on. Also, we're in the middle of a panorama. Like, let's add that on top of everything else. Like, it feels like it truly feels like second puberty. Like, you say yeah. that all the time, but like, that's what it feels like. And you're also like, right, friends with someone like you who has a family and like living in a home. And I'm like, is that what I'm supposed to be doing right mm-hmm. now?
Well, and you know what's so funny is I think we all look at each other and think that the other people have it so much more together than us.
Right.
Like, I remember when we were having those conversations in Big Bear, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And you guys were like,
yeah, Ryan and
you're
I
the one who's supposed to have it all together.
Right,
and I'm like,
right.
Actually, I really don't. I yeah. really have no idea what I'm doing. And I feel like a fraud. And I have this horrible imposter syndrome. I feel like I can never get my footing. But I look at you guys. I'm like, you guys are doing it. You're living in LA. You're auditioning.
Right.
You're going out. You're like having fun. You're really like doing that in your 20s. And I think it's this kind of idea of everyone else has it figured out except me.
I feel like, too, it's really hard with social media because it's kind of just like thrown in. Everyone's life is thrown mm-hmm. in your face. Mm-hmm. And that's not even intentional, right? I mean, sometimes it's intentional, but it's hard because normally you just catch up with your friends. Like, you're having a conversation, or you call them or you text them or whatever. But now I'm like, oh, you just had your family photos. You just got engaged. Like, you're just doing all of this. And it's constant.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I just posted the fourth food pick in a row at the bar.
And they're like, guess what? We're engaged.
I'm like,
yeah, yeah. Mm. No, I do definitely catch myself like scrolling through Instagram and you're just like, wow, you're already, I mean, how do you even have a house? Like, and I think that actually like subconscious, just not knowing where I'm like trying to check myself like, are you on the right path? Like, are you doing the right? Like, they just bought a house, Paloma, and you're like nowhere near that. Like, maybe you need to reevaluate some things. And then I'm like, wait a second, take a step back. And you're like, okay, that's not my path. Like, I don't even know where I would want to live.
And I think that's the problem, is that there is this idea of like one path of your 20s. You go to college, you graduate, you meet someone at the end of college or during college, you get engaged at the end, then you do this, then you do that, then you buy the house, then you get the dog, then you have the kids. And it's like, you do this, 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 and then you die.
Right.
And it's like, right. That is not reality.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There is no one path. And there are advantages and drawbacks to every path. And if we are all holding ourselves to this one unrealistic path that we're supposed to be on, no one is going to feel like they're doing the right thing.
Right. Right. And it's also like, it's giving really American dream.
Oh my gosh.
And like,
ooh, yeah.
help that whole situation in general. But like, that's what it gives, right?
Yeah.
You go to school and then you get the dog and you do the thing and it's like one big happy family. But like, first of all, not everybody's trying to have a family.
Yeah.
Not everybody's trying to buy a house. Like, some people are living in the city forever, like,
right,
doing the thing. And kind of my vibe, I think.
And I honestly think that just buying a house is, like, so daunting for me because I'm like, I live in LA and the rent is, like, insane. So just, like, in my brain, I cannot comprehend how people are buying houses.
We're also millennials.
What?
That's like not even like realistic.
Oh yeah. Well, when we bought our house too, it was like a stretch for us. Like, we were like, I don't know if this is a good idea. Like, this is a big stretch.
Right.
And thank goodness we bought when we did, because we would not be able to buy now.
Oh my God. Right. Didn't you move here right before the pandemic?
Literally the day that we got the keys to this house is the day California went on lockdown. And you know, when we bought this house, we were like, I know, we were like, should we back out of escrow? Because that's when the pandemic started. Of like, the market's going to crash. All of our money is in this house and we are going to lose it.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like a really scary thing to do. And now I'm so glad we did, because housing prices have gone up so much.
Right.
Like, we have, it was such a great investment to buy this house. But then it was so scary. And right. Now, how is anyone getting into the housing market?
Let me know if you know a guy.
Yes. No, for real. I mean, even the rent prices have gone up so much.
We left. I mean, Ryan and I left our old apartment to the new one because they, after the pandemic ended, quote unquote.
Right.
They were like, all right, well, we're actually going to raise the rent $800. And I'm like, and by the way, we're going to start charging for the amenities now.
It was like, we're going to up the price and nothing is going to change.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Except the rent price.
Except like, for they were charging us to use amenities. Yeah. Why are you charging me $100 to use the movie theater? That is an amenity.
Is that not what I pay for?
Right. Isn't that?
It was so crazy.
LA's you know, crazy.
Yeah, 5 years ago, when I rented my first apartment in La Jolla, one bedroom in La Jolla, which is like a pretty expensive area because it's a college area. Do you know how much it was? $1,100. And I thought that was expensive. I was like,
I would do anything.
I'm about to throw this pillow at you.
$1,100. Granted, it was an old apartment. Like, nothing was updated, but like,
but
it was
still,
it was
La Jolla?
A nice. Yeah.
La Jolla. I was like, yeah, it's,
oh, girl.
I know.
Giving beach.
Yeah. And I really was like, gosh, this is so expensive. Rent is crazy. And now people are like, oh yeah, I pay $4,000 for my one bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
With like no updated utility, like with nothing, like straight up bad situation.
How do we allow ourselves to like go through that thing? Like, if we know, like, we're here chatting about it, we know that that's not realistic, so why, when I'm scrolling through Instagram, am I so surprised? Like, maybe you just catch yourself. I don't know. Like,
I think it's that thing of like giving advice to other people that you would never give to yourself. Of like we're so kind to other people in a way that we aren't kind to ourselves. Like, you can tell other people all day, like, there's no timeline on life. You are doing you. You are the best you. You are the best you could be. And everyone has their own timeline. And then to yourself, you're like, you effing idiot.
Yeah, right.
What are you doing? Yeah. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And I think a big thing for me has been like trying to give myself even a fraction of the like kindness that I give to my friends and family.
Yeah.
Of like, why would I be so mean to myself when I'm so like giving to the people around me? And I think we all need to like do that when it comes to life stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
I think I'm on that same wavelength, because like, honestly, it was like, I think it was 2 months ago, Sierra, that I was like, I think I need to give myself more grace, because I would never speak to my friends that way or like anything like that. And I'm like, why do you have all these things and like expectations for yourself, but like with your friends, you're like, you are literally I would never, and I mean that honestly, it's like, I would never change anything about you. You are doing fantastic, sweetie. Yes. But with me, I'm like, you are useless.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's not even saying it, it's thinking it. I would never even think about someone else in like that way of being like, what are you doing? Da, da, da. But with myself,
it's bad. Yeah.
Do you think it's because with other people, there's a consequence if you were to say that? Because with yourself, you're like, well, I gotta live with myself, what's the consequence? Sorry, you were saying and I was like, brain blast,
write that down.
Also, like, yeah, we're 26, right? But like, we're only 6 in adult years.
Yes. When Ryan said that, I was like, because that's something that you've said to us before, I'm like, I have never thought of it that way.
I am 6 years old in adult life.
Like, I don't know what's going on. No, I don't. I'm not like married or have like, I don't know what bills are. I like, I have no idea what's going on. I just got here.
Yeah, yeah. I'm new.
I'm new.
I am fresh out the womb practically of adulthood.
Basically,
I'm literally Googling 401k. Like,
no, that's where I'm at, y'all.
But one of the things that we really liked about the name 20 whatever is, like, you know, it's a play on, like, the whole 20 something thing. Like, we're 20 something, we're 20 whatever. All three of us are in those different stages of life. But how do you bridge that life gap and keep those friendships when it feels like everyone is doing something different?
Right.
And that, like, for me, I have friends who are also moms, but I don't want all of my friends to be in the exact same stage of life as me.
Right.
I like having friends who are in different spots, and, like, your guys' friendship is so valuable to me. I don't want it to just be like, well, we don't have anything to relate to anymore because we're so different.
Well, that's, I think that's the other thing too. It's like, in, like in layman's terms, like, we shouldn't even have a relation, like a friendship, because like, what are you doing that I'm doing, and vice versa? Like, what do I have
we're
to
in
offer?
Completely different stages. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think bridging that gap is the reality that we are all still in our 20s and we still feel the same way about things.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like you said, we were having that conversation, like, Sierra, what do you mean you don't have everything together? Ryan and I are looking at each other like, what do you mean she doesn't have anything together? Oh, God, we're all doomed. Because Sierra, who has it all together, doesn't have it together. Oh, we're all doomed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I think that we're all.
But if we're all doomed, is anybody really doomed?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If everyone's super, no one is. If everyone is in a shitty headspace,
it's true.
Then, exactly.
And that's what, and you start feeling, telling yourself, like, oh, that's not normal to not be doing that. And you're like, no, it's normal to not know, to be trying to figure it out. And I feel like we're all just kind of taking turns, pulling each other back into the boat. You know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel with my friends. I really, because we're just like treading and trying to get around and do the thing. And you're like, okay, girl, I got to throw you in the boat.
Yep. Like doggy paddling, like tired.
Flopping like a fish.
Tired.
I am a magic carp. I have yet to evolve into a Gyarados. Throw me back in the boat. I'm getting back on the SS Anne.
No, right. It's actually that. And once you have conversations with people, you realize that we're all here together.
And it makes you feel so much better.
Right.
Because you're like, okay, because it's one of those things where, again, with social media, we're only seeing the highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could all just kind of have these conversations, it makes us feel so much less alone.
Right.
And that's what we want this podcast to be, a place to have those conversations for us and hopefully some of you to feel a little bit less alone in that.
Yeah.
Because we are not, girl.
We're not, and here's the thing. Yes, like, you're special and, like, love that, and that's what your mom says. But, like, our situations really aren't that special. And if you just talk to somebody about it, like, odds are somebody is going through the same thing you're going through.
It's giving exactly what, like, is, like, trending right now on TikTok, where it's like, do I even have my own
single unique experience?
Exactly. Yep, there it is.
And you're like, you hear someone tell a story that is, like, so insane, and then you see people in the comments like, yup, me, yup,
literally
me.
And
you're just like, oh, wow.
Me.
So,
yeah.
Me.
Yep, me.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, too, I right now am very aware that I do not have it all figured out. But when I was like 18, 19, like freshly just kind of getting out on my own, oh, I thought I knew it all.
You couldn't tell her nothing.
Oh, my gosh. I was the smartest person who have ever existed. Every experience I've ever had is unique. And I have it all figured out. Mm-hmm. Like, truly. And I believed that. And now getting to be in my mid to late 20s, it's the perfect way to put it. Taylor Swift lyric. How can a person know everything at 18 and nothing at 22?
It's exactly that.
And that's how I feel.
T-Swift said it best.
Yeah, she did. As she often does, right?
Yes. Always. Always.
She is never wrong.
We may not have it figured out. No one does, except one person on this earth. And her name is Miss Taylor Allison Swift.
Yes. Not Allison.
That's her middle name?
Yeah.
I love that. That's so cute.
Yeah.
Taylor Allison Swift.
Mm-hmm. No, that's really cute.
You should be on the podcast, T.
Yeah, T-Swift. Come over.
And please talk to us about you in your 20s, because, girl, help me feel like I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But I think it's that thing of realizing that actually I have no idea what I'm doing, and I am questioning everything I ever thought was true.
Right, right.
And questioning your thinking. Like, I got to a point where I think it was during the pandemic where I was like, man, I think it was like 24 when I started thinking, well, why do you think that?
Yeah.
Like, for a long time, it was a matter of fact type of thing. Yeah. Like, I believe this, I think that. But obviously, all your thoughts and who you are is developed from when you're younger and your parents, mm-hmm. like, up until, like, you're mm-hmm. seven or something. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that you believe of yourself and everything is what your parents taught you. Yep. And then you leave college and you're like, all right, well, I did the whole college. I was like, all right, graduated from college. Now what? I had a manual up until this point. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'm like, now it's really up to me. My mom's like, well, do what you love. And I'm like,
what do I love?
Well, this is crazy.
Because, right. And, you're like, who am I?
Yes. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, I guess I really don't know who I am.
And then that's when also when you start figuring out who you are and what you actually like, what you truly believe in and all of that stuff. That's where like friendships come into play where you get to pick them. It's not yeah. the kids in school. It's mm-hmm. not your neighbors. Yep. It's people that you see in real life that feel similarly to you and believe the same things, you know, stuff like that. Like that's like chosen family.
Correct.
I'm so interested to hear your guys' answers to this because I thought of this when P was talking. When was the first time or the first big thing you can remember where you deviated from your parents' handbook of this is the way the world is, this is what we believe and what we do, and the first time that you really went, is that the only option, is that the way it is?
Oh my goodness, I'm going to have to think on that. Give me 1 second. Okay, while we think about it, do you have one?
I do. I have a big, like, big one that stands out in my head. And it was when I was in 7th grade and Prop 8 was going on. Oh. And I had just always, I grew up in a pretty conservative area. And I had just always kind of gone with what, you know, my community said. And never really thought too much about it. But I grew up in theater. So I was around a very diverse group in my, like, extracurriculars. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Prop 8 was going on, there was two girls that I hung out with in my PE class. It was like the three of us were a little trio. One of them was Mormon and one of them was like a theater kid, bisexual, very like social justice, like conscious person.
Right.
And she, I remember, was getting in an argument with our other friend about Prop 8 because our Mormon friend had been protesting on the corner with her family that weekend. Mm. And she had seen her and been like, what are you doing? And she was just like, well, this is just what my family believes is right and true and da 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 da. And I was just kind of watching. And I remember our friend, the one who was, you know, against Prop 8.
Yes.
Because for Prop 8 was the ban on gay marriage. Yeah. Said, Sierra, what do you think? And I had never thought about it. I had truly never thought about it because it didn't affect me.
Right.
And I remember thinking, well, yeah, of course gay people should be able to get married. Like, the two men who ran the theater company that I did were gay and they were together. I'm like, of course they should be able to get married. Duh. But I had never thought about it.
Right.
And that was the first time that that was an awakening for me of like, wait, if this isn't true, if I am against, you know, Prop 8 and I don't think that gay marriage should be banned, what else is wrong? What else have I been taught that is not actually what I believe? And so that was kind of the catalyst. Like I said, I didn't really kind of get in too much into my own politics until I got to college. But that was the first time I said, well, let me look into this myself. And I started researching and learning more about it. And that was the first time for me. I was like, I'm going my own way. And what's interesting now with being married to Steven is he grew up in a family that was very liberal and in a community that was very liberal. And so he never really had to deviate from the handbook. And so a lot of the times, because he and I believe like pretty much all the same things, when we're talking about things, he's like, oh my God, you know so much more about this. And I'm like, because I had to figure it out.
Right,
like,
right.
I had to
outsource the handbook.
Outsource the handbook, yeah.
You're like, other references.
But I'm sorry, I asked a question and then I talked for 5 minutes.
Listen.
So, love that. Hopefully that gave you the time.
It did. I think I can't remember when this was. I definitely was like young teens. I would probably say like anywhere between 11 and 14 where I was kind of taught about like modesty and
purity culture.
And I was like, yeah, right. Like we don't want to be like showing our boobs. Right. Also,
modest is hottest
was like the number one thing. And a lot of my church friends were like, modest is hottest. And I was like, yeah, modest is hottest. And then I was like,
but is it?
I'm just kidding. Is it? Like, it can be if that's like your vibe. But also, right. Like, me wearing a crop top or me wearing shorter shorts. One, I'm 14. So let's, whose eyes are we trying to avert? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. That's the issue. That is actually the issue.
Also, can we talk about the fact, why was it modest is hottest? Why is it about being hot?
Right.
Like, that's kind of disgusting.
No. Yeah.
Like, why is it like, oh, if you want to be hot, be modest?
Right.
Like, shouldn't, if it was a religious thing, shouldn't it be like, you should be modest for your heart?
Right.
I completely agree. Sorry. Now that you bring that up, now I'm like thinking about it, like, that is pretty weird.
It's weird.
If you want to be hot, I'd be like, why are we trying to tell the 12-year-olds to be hot?
Exactly.
Maybe they meant it literally, because if you're wearing more clothes, you're gonna be sweaty.
Girl, you right. Modest. You're right.
I am gonna take it like that. That is weird. Like, why? Number one, why am I being policed on what I'm wearing? Mm-hmm. Again, I'm 11 to 14. Like, it's not that deep. Let's relax. And I knew, I was like, this is weird because you're telling me how I should dress around adults. Like, no one is even talking to me about, like, other boys. It's like, you don't want to wear that. Like, this is, like, a crowd full of men. I'm like, the issue was not lying with me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is weird. But, like, you don't talk about that. And it puts the fault on girls or women or whatever to feel like I have to cover up for everyone else's sake.
Yeah, and what's the Bible verse? If your eyes offend thee, pluck them out.
Yeah.
If the eyes offend thee, tell them to go put a turtleneck on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, very that. And I also had conversations about, like, breastfeeding in public. Mm-hmm. That was, like, a really big, like, you don't do that. Like, there are, like, men. I'm like, they shouldn't be looking. Right. Well, yeah. They are. Well, okay, but they shouldn't be. Like, why is it? Why are you faulting these people who are breastfeeding in public? You're the one sexualizing boobs that are quite literally giving life.
Doing what they're there to do.
And if you have a problem with it, you need to avert your eyes or you need to seek help. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was, like, really, really big for me. And it's so funny now because, like, when I do drive, I'm a big fan of a crop top. I love a cleavage moment, a little ass cheek, you know. And it's funny because that was, like, so not what the vibe was and probably not shouldn't have been, but, like, definitely not something that I thought that it was going to be. And, like, I don't do it for other people. I love to wear that stuff. And I'm a big proponent of, like, wear what you feel the best in.
Yeah.
And, like, just feel good. And if that's a turtleneck and floor length jeans, then wear that.
Wear what makes you feel confident. Mm-hmm. I think that is something that I has just brain blasted in the brain recently. I was, like, trying to figure out what I wanted to wear, and I was like, how about, like, what makes you feel confident in whatever that means? And that's what I've kind of been running with.
Also, so, like, we're literally all naked under our clothes. Like, right. We're wearing clothes right now of varying coverage, but underneath it, we're all naked.
Naked.
So, like, who cares?
You know what RuPaul says? We're all born naked, and the rest is drag.
And the rest is drag, baby.
P, what was yours?
Going back to what Sierra said about, like, going away from the handbook, and that's kind of what I want to, use it as, because I think that that's kind of also what my mom thought, what she thought was right. Mm-hmm. So I grew up Catholic, and my mother was taken by the hand to the Catholic Church, so was I, and along what comes with that is just, like, no sex before marriage. I was, like, told pretty soon that my mom was like, listen, like, if you have sex, you could get pregnant, and that is not something that we condone considering you're young, yada yada yada. But the main point was, my mom would kind of hint, like, but if you were to ever get pregnant, I want you to tell me, because we would just make of what it is. Like, we are not going to abort the baby because we are Catholic and that is against our religion to do so. Hearing that was just kind of like, okay, like, I was not even sexually active or anything like that. It was just something that stayed in my mind until I got a little bit older and was like, wait a second. It has to be someone's own choice, and you can't be telling me that we are going to have this baby because I got pregnant.
There is no we.
And when I grew up, I actually, and which I still do, and I'm so glad that my mom's willing to learn, that I educate her and explain to her why other people think certain ways and why I think that. Mom, like, obviously it's up to their own choice. Like, you can't say, like, Paloma, you got pregnant, so we need to have this baby, because I know you'd help me. And that's so amazing that I'm so privileged to have you wanting to help me, but that's not up to us. So it was just me saying that to her and her being like, oh my God, like, what do you mean? Like, would you mean that's even like a option? And so obviously educating her and explaining to her why it's a woman's choice, she was like, no, you're so right. Like, how am I to expect that of someone else? Or, and I just like kind of opened her eyes and educated her and give her the statistics and give her stuff like that. And she's like, wow, you're right. And I feel like I'm rewriting the handbook.
That is so good. Rewriting the handbook. I think my teens were like deviating from it. My 20s have been rewriting it. And that's something that I think has actually helped me get a lot closer to my parents, is they have been very open to kind of, this sounds like so pretentious, but like allowing me to educate them a little bit on things, and like talking to them about what I believe. And they're so open to like changing their viewpoint. And both of my parents have been like very receptive to that. And I feel like we've really been able to grow together. And especially my dad, like, he always is so calm and just like, so like, what do you think about that? And like, why do you believe that? And I feel like we're able to have these really civil discussions in which a lot of the times I have been able to change his mind. And that, I think, has brought us a lot closer. And a thing that really meant a lot to me was like 6 months ago, Steven asked my dad, like, what was your favorite stage with, you know, Sierra and her siblings? Like, because we're going through all that now with Grace of like, oh, you know, this stage is so fun, but then that stage. And my dad said now is his favorite. And like that just, that hit me so hard.
That's,
he was
so
like,
special.
It is. And he was like, now, because they challenge what I believe and they educate me. And like, we have these amazing conversations. And that meant so much to me to know that, like, not only do I value that, but it's mutual. Like, my dad does, too.
And you probably feel just so heard.
Yes,
you know, I think that that's the biggest issue with these three topics that we're talking about. It's, if we were able to have a civil conversation of really just listening, we would all be much more understanding when it comes to, like, topics that are, like, not by the handbook or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's what I was going to say. Like, it's so special. Like, it must feel so special to be able to talk to people who essentially like told you what it was. Like, your parents tell you, it's not a conversation, this is what it is, this is what we're doing, because you don't have a choice, you're a child. And then you grow up and to feel like they're hearing you and treating you like an adult and not like a child, like that has to feel so special.
And I say all the time, you know, Steven and I are doing our best to raise Grace in a diverse, accepting, inclusive household. For the first 5 years of her life before she goes to school, this is what she knows. We want to give her a firm foundation. My ultimate goal, my ultimate hope, is that someday Grace can turn around and say, actually, Mom, that language that you're using is not really what we say anymore. Actually, Mom, let me tell you about this thing. That she can go out into the world and rewrite her handbook a little bit. We did the best we could. But I'm sure there's things we're getting wrong. And that if she can someday come back to me and educate me, I've done something right.
Oh, that was so beautiful.
That was so beautiful. That's and so imagine the relationship and the closeness and the friendship that will create between you and Grace.
I hope.
Well, that's what separates parent, child, right? When the child grows up, between like friend and friend, like, we can be friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think, and I think I've been able to have those kind of debates with my parents now, that I've lost a little bit of my, like, anger about topics. It was justified, right? Like, in my late teens, early 20s, I was so passionate about these things. And I still am, but I was so angry that I called my uncle a bigot over Thanksgiving dinner when I was 19. Like, just straight up. Like, that, I can't have a conversation with him after I said that. Like, I'm not going to change his mind. I did nothing there. I did nothing. And so I think now I've been able, and we're going to do a whole episode on like lessons we've learned in our 20s. And that's a big one for me. So I'll just keep it kind of surface right now. But I think learning to like step back and be like, how can I educate instead of just yelling has been big. And it's hard because these things are, they do make you angry. Like Roe v. Wade getting overturned and having these conversations about abortion, it makes me angry. And like, you know, when things are going on with like LGBTQ rights, it makes me angry. But at the end of the day, I have to go, what's my goal on having this conversation?
And what you're saying about that anger, and I think I'm gonna try to not cry when I say this, but it's you just feel so much sadness that it turns into anger because you're like, I can't even believe that you feel this way, you know? And you're just, you're not angry. You're like at the root of it. And I think that that's what happened when Roe v. Wade got overturned. I was like so angry. Like I could see red. I was just beyond myself. And then I was talking about it with my boyfriend and I was like, at the end of the day, I'm sad. Like it's sadness that has just so much sadness has turned into anger because what the heck? And I feel like I have to shout to get my point across. And that's something we don't know when we're 19. We're just like, you're 19 years old. You're just like, I know what's right. And that's true to you and your heart. And you can't even believe that there's like this hate in this world, right? But it's just, oh, you just get so filled with your emotions. And mm-hmm. now we're at an age where we're learning to eloquently speak on it
and communicate
yeah. and also going what's my goal with this conversation,
right?
Because just calling you a bigot probably isn't gonna accomplish my goal,
right
like maybe you are being a little bigoted, but I can just keep that to myself.
But 19 year old Sierra probably was like, guess what, I know that this is right and I'm gonna say it. Yep. So you know.
Yep.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof, y'all, damn.
Well, I did not expect this episode to go here, but no. It's 20 whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what conversations sound like when you're in your 20s. One second, and, I'm talking about the Kardashians, and the next, I'm like, can you believe
this? It's so true, and it's, I think, I love what you said about rewriting the handbook, because it is not written. It is not done. Mm-hmm. We are in the process of rewriting it in our 20s.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine life past my 20s right now. Like, what is rewriting the handbook in my 30s and 40s going to look like?
You guys, I have heard, like, being 28 is so different from 25. Like, you know how we feel at, like, 22 is, like, so far off?
So different.
Like, I don't know who is 22. Paloma at 22, don't know her. So much has happened. And that's not a long time. But so when I hear people that are 28, 29, that are like, oh, when I was 25, I had no idea. I was like, oh. All right, so a lot of what I'm going to say is going to change pretty often. I'm going to be continuously rewriting this handbook.
I think that's just so true, right? Like, we don't know what we're doing. And as soon as we get it figured out, we have another thing to figure out.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. You're so
like,
right.
It never ends.
It never ends. No. But I think we have to kind of stop thinking, like, at this point, I'll have it figured out.
Mm-hmm. Because I just need this one thing to happen, and then I can really do the thing.
Otherwise, we'll always be chasing it, and we'll never be happy.
Oof.
That was a good one, Sierra.
Oh, sorry. Good to get it a little deep at
Got him.
But yeah, I think this is a good place to wrap up the episode. We've been talking for a while.
Yeah.
We are going to be now posting weekly episodes, I think every Wednesday, right?
Yes.
That's what we said.
Yes.
Wednesdays, be looking out. And we are going to go record the second episode right after our Postmates.
Yes. So. Yes. We have to take a lunch break. Definitely let us know in the comments what other things you want us to talk about or like anything. We have ample amount of words.
Yes,
so.
Please.
And also let us know how old you are in adult years. Because when you were saying that, what I thought was so interesting, right? I think everyone enters adult years at a different time. I don't think it's necessarily at 18.
Yeah,
I think
they're starting from 20.
Honestly. It could be 20, or there could be someone out there who had to be the parent in their family from when they were 12. They may only be 20 and feel like they're 8 in adult years.
Right.
So, like, for me, I think 19 or 20. I think when I moved out of my college dorm and got my own apartment, that sweet, sweet $1,100 a month.
Yep.
That was
miss her.
That was my like. I am kind of a baby adult.
Yeah.
Not a full adult, baby adult.
I think mine was 22 when I moved to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. I absolutely think after 21, after college. Yeah.
Yep.
I agree.
So we're just little baby adults over here.
Yeah. I'm only 4.
I'm 5.
I'm 6. I just learned how to ride a bike. I'm getting into kindergarten.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Take those tricycle wheels off, baby.
All right, y'all. Thanks for watching, and we will see you next time. Bye.